Thank you very much for coming, for learning together Torah Hashem, and we dedicate our learning this morning Le'ilui Nishmas Me'ir Achai Anachama Bracha Le'a Shalom Bas David Mordechai. Our learning should be a merit Le'ilui Nishmas Katie Fischel of blessed memory, and we are learning here Masechet Bechoros Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going through the different parts of the body of an animal and what would be considered a blemish, that were this firstborn male kosher animal to have this blemish, that would permit shechting the animal. So we learned about blemishes in the ear, then we learned about blemishes in the eye, and the Mishnah mentioned two more blemishes in the eye, chvarvur, and Mayim Akvuim, the constantly watery eye, and Chvarvur, which is some type of white spots inside of the eye. So the Mishnah said that the constantly watery eye is only a permanent blemish if you've tried to heal it the right way. And what's the trying to heal it in the right way? That is to feed it from a field, hay that is moist, and then to feed it hay that's dry, and even so, it still has the watery eye. The Braisa said that according to Yehuda, this is done over 80 days, and the Yishnu Shloshal Chadashim. And then they do this test and they do it over again over 3 months. So that's what we just learned. V'yeshno shlosha chadashim. So the Gemara says, really, is it that you're doing this test of feeding it the moist and then the dry? You're doing that over 90 days, 3 months? Eini, is that so? Or lamed chesmed beis? Vaha Amar Rav Idi Bar Rav and Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyan, but we know that Rav Idi Bar Rav and Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyan, that this test of feeding the bechor with the watery eyes, the moist hay, and then the dry hay, we're on Lamed Ches Mem Beis towards the bottom, is done over the months of Adar and Nisan, because that's when it's still winter time, or it's the end of winter, so that's when the hay is moist. That's when you feed it the lach, and then in Elul and Tishrei in the end of the summer, that's when you feed it the dry, the yavesh. So you have moist and then the dry. So if you add 2 months plus 2 months, it's how many months? 4 months. So that's 120 days. That's not 90 days. So how do you say that this is a test that goes over 90 days? It's a test that's basically over 120 days. So when it says explains, Emal explained that what did Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyan mean? Adar v'chatzi Nisan. He meant that the moist hay is fed to it in Adar and half of Nisan. And Elul, that's the lach, that's when you feed it, the moist hay. And Elul and chatzi Tishrei, Elul and half of Tishrei, that's when you feed it the yavesh, the dry hay. So when it's really a month and a half plus a month and a half equals together how much? Nice. 3 months. That's how we're saying that it's a test that's taking place over 3 months. They had a question in the yeshiva. Following question. When we say you feed it the moist hay and then the dry hay, does it have to be in their season or can you do it all together? Does it have to be that the moist lach, bisman lach, you feed the moist hay to it in the time of moist hay, namely only in Adar and Nisan, and yavesh bisman yavesh, and the dry is only fed in the time of the dry, namely only in Elul and Tishrei, Udilmor, maybe lach v'yavesh pizman lach. If that's a, you had dry hay, you could feed this animal in Adar and Nisan, the moist hay, and then the dry hay all at once. So Tashma coming here proved. I'm Rav Idi Bar Avin. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyan. They will just prove what we just said. Rav Idi Bar Avin said in Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyan, when we say you feed it the moist hay, and then the dry hay, it's Adar v'Nisan lach. In Adar and in Nisan, you're feeding it the moist hay. El v'Tishrei yavish. El and Tishrei feeding it the dry hay. So what do you see? You're not doing it all at once. You have to do it in separate times. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. What he meant to say was, Peri de El v'Tishrei. the grain of Elul and Tishrei, Machil no le Adar v'Nisan. We feed it to the animal in Adar and Nisan. And maybe he's not saying that it all has to be at its time, but maybe you could have at the time of the moist hay, feeding it the moist hay, and then feeding it dry hay from another year. Okay, so we did not resolve this question. All right, v'kama machilin osam. How much hay do you have to feed the animal for this test to see that even though you did the way to heal the animal, it's still watery-eyed? I'm Reb Yochanan Shimon Reb Pinchas ben Aruba. Reb Yochanan said in the name of Reb Pinchas ben Aruba, could grow geres, the size of a dried fig worth of hay. So now we have a bunch of questions about this law, that the way to heal an animal from this problem of watery eyes is to feed it wet hay and then to feed it dry hay. And the amount that you feed it is a fig worth each day. You feed it a fig worth of wet hay, and then after a period you feed it a fig worth of dry hay each day. So Rabbi said, they asked a question in the West, namely, we're in Talmud Bavli, so they're asking a question in the West, in the land of Israel. And we say you're feeding it kigrogeres. Is that besuda rishona in the first meal? It's a fig worth only for breakfast. Odilma, now starting today's daf, or maybe this bechol suda besuda. Every time this animal eats, it should be eating a fig worth of the wet hay and then the dry hay. And that's the way to try to heal it. So it's not enough to just feed it once in the morning. You have to feed it every time with these amounts. Now, in Tim Shalom B'Suda Rishon, if you're going to tell me that all you need to do is to feed it once in the morning, so now the question is, Kodum Achila, this medicinal hay, is this eaten before its normal meal? Ola Achar Achila, or can you even do it after the meal? Now, another question, here's the explanation of the question. So now we're going to talk about, you know, how does this medicine work? Is it that the medicine is working because the animal's also relaxed and in a good mood, and that's why the hay helps it? Or maybe even if it's not in a good mood and it's not relaxed, the hay, you know, moist and then the dry would help it. We need a farmer here to explain to us, you know, why these questions, it's all about. Tim Tintalomer, if you're going to say, this Uda Rishona, that it's during the first meal. So now we have another question. So Kodem Achila, is it before the animal eats? Oliachar Achila, or is it after it eats? It's Kodem Achila, before it eats. Vade Malila Kasama. That certainly works. It's like a medicine. Medicines you do first thing in the morning before you eat. You take the medicine. That would certainly work. But what about Laachar Achila Mat? What about if you give it this grogeres, this fig worth of wet hay for a bunch of days, and then figs worth of dry hay for a bunch of days after it eats? What's the law then? Is it going to help when it doesn't look like a medicine? Maybe it doesn't help in such a case. Maybe it does help. Another question. Kodem shtia, do you give the fig worth of the wet hay every day and then the fig worth of dry hay every day before it drinks? Or la'achar shtia, after it drinks? Kodem shtia vade mali la kesari. Certainly before it drinks, it would work like barley. Animals eat barley before they drink. But our question is, what about if you give it after a drink? My, would it also be a good medicine? And if the watery eyes are still here, that's the proof that it has a permanent blemish. And a fourth question. When you feed the animal this wet hay and then the dry hay, kashur, is the animal tied or mutter? Is it untied? Mutter vadimalila. Certainly if it's untied, it's good for the animal. It would work. Because the animal's more relaxed. So if the animal's more relaxed and it's more open to getting healed, that's a good medicine. So if even in that case it didn't work, then you know it's a permanent blemish. So our question is, kosher mai, what happens if it's all tied up and it's stressed and you fed it, you know, for these 3 months, you fed it the wet hay and then you fed it the dry hay and it still has the watery eyes. So maybe that's not a sign of a permanent blemish. Maybe that's you didn't do the medicine in the right way because it was all stressed and was stressed. It wasn't able to heal in the right way. Levado. Now when we say that you feed the animal, right? So is it that you feed the animal by itself? Or im chavero? Or you feed it together with its friends? Im chavero vadimalo. If he's together with his friends, he's in a good mood. Animals like to be around other animals. So if the animals with other animals, the cow with other cows is in a good mood, and for 90 days you gave him the wet hay and then the dry hay, a fig worth every morning, or a fig worth every meal, so then if it didn't work even after all of that, then you know it's got a permanent blemish. But maybe if it was by itself, it was in a bad mood, maybe that's why it didn't work, and maybe that's not a permanent blemish. Levadomai, what's the law if it's by itself? Now another question, sixth question. But year, do you feed the animal with the wet hay and then the dry hay in a city for 90 days? Or basada, or maybe only in a field? Basada vadimaila, in a field it certainly makes sense, because again, in a field it's in a good mood, so that's a good medicine. But Yirmai, but what about if he's in a city? He's stressed from all the noise and all the people and the lack of space. So maybe that's why the medicine didn't work. And a seventh question. By Ravashi, Ravashi said, Intim Salom and Basada, if you're going to say it has to be in a field, what about Gina Smuchal Yirmai? What about a garden next to the city? Is that considered a field or is that not considered a field? Says the Gemara, take away, we don't know the answer to any of these questions. We don't know the answer. We'll have to wait for Leo HaNavi to resolve all these questions about how to heal the animal that has the watery eyes. Okay, going back to the blemish called chvarvur. He said with these like white spots inside the eye. So it had to be there for 80 days. Then you know it's a permanent blemish. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Reb Chanina ben Antigna Somer, Reb Chanina ben Antigna says, you check it three times within those 80 days. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, these three checks, Bilvachi Meshulashim, they have to be in thirds. So 26 days and a half you check, 26 days and a half later you check, and then 26 days and a half later, after 27 days, you check the third time. Pinchas, who was the brother of our master Shmuel, asked the question of his brother of Shmuel. Acha, let's say the Bechor ate grain. I was just thinking, you know, normally the Amoraim are referred to as Rav something, like Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda Nasiya. So why does Shmuel not have that title, Rav? So we know that the reason why they added the titles was because of the Tzedukim. The Sadducees didn't believe in the oral Torah, right? Sadducees didn't believe in the oral Torah. So therefore, to show who's like a real rabbinic rabbi who's loyal to the tradition of Torah Sheba'al Peh, they either added Rav or Rebbe. In Eretz Yisrael, it was Rebbe, because there they had smicha. Outside of Israel, they didn't have smicha. It became Rav. However, the Rav Shira Gon writes, Gadol may Rav Rebbe, right? Greater than the title Rav is the title Rebbe. But Gadol may Rabban, Gadol may Rebbe Rabban, greater than Rebbe is Rabban, because Rabban is the title of the Nasi. Gadol mi Rabban Shman, greater than Rabban is their name themselves. Let's say Hillel is just called Hillel, not Rab Hillel. Shammai is just called Shammai, because they lived at a time when the Tzedukim weren't so popular, so there was no need to, you know, give them the title of Rav beforehand. So just be referred to by their name, like Avram Avinu. We don't say Rev Avram. Avram Avinu, that was even greater, just the name themselves. So maybe Shmuel was called Shmuel because maybe he reached back to the level of like Hillel and Shammai. That's who he's just called Shmuel, not Rav Shmuel. Okay, anyway, so he asked our master Shmuel following question. Acha, let's say he ate all this hay that's supposed to help heal, v'lo itzi, and he wasn't healed. So now, so we say it's a permanent blemish. How do we understand that? Is it that l'mafreya avimuma? Retroactively we say it always had this permanent blemish. Only now, after it went through the 80 days or the 90 days, eating what it was supposed to eat, only now going forward do we say it's blemished. So Lamayin Afkimin, what's the difference? The difference would be like this. Let's say it has these things in the eye, it starts eating the hay, and you redeemed it on coins. So, the mim'al b'pidyono. Now you want to use these coins. Let's say you start using these coins. And then, after 80 days, the animal's still not healed. So, if you're going to say retroactively it was blemished, so if retroactively it was blemished, so then the redemption was a good redemption. So fine. So there would be me'ila in these coins. But if you're going to say that it's only blemished from now forward, that means when you redeemed it, it really wasn't blemished. So if it wasn't blemished, the coins never became holy. So then there was no me'ila in the coins. That's what it says here. If you're going to tell me l'mafreya avimuma, even retroactively it's blemished. So then since earlier than the 80-day point, the 90-day point, you had tried to redeem it. So since retroactively it was blemished, that redemption worked. Ma'il. So then, now that you've used these coins, there's me'ila in these coins. However, if after the test, only from now and on it's considered blemish, that means the coins earlier were not coins for a blemished animal yet. So they didn't even become holy. So there was no lo mild. There wouldn't be any me'ila. So Mai, what's the conclusion to this question? So Shmuel said to his brother an insult. Kari Shmuel Alei, Shmuel said to him, his name was Pinchas, so he played on his name, Psachim Bazazuvaz. So it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that it's like wounded people that are lame, are they going to be the ones to go run around and plunder from the stores when the mob has broken open the display windows of the stores? How could they? They're lame. How could they get around? So basically he's saying, you're not such a Talmud Chacham, and yet you asked me a question that I don't have an answer to. I mean, it's amazing, right? You're not this sharp guy, and yet you're doing stuff that shouldn't be able to be doing. So he didn't give him an answer. Yes. But that's, again, we have that, the famous Jew of the Chavis Yair, who says that we find often that the rabbis in the Talmud say these biting remarks and cynical remarks. And he says that was only normally between a teacher to a student, because it was to encourage the student to learn better. So sort of like the old school, tough, very demanding, as the Mishnah says, Zrok mara b'talmidim, throw some bitterness into the students. And very rich, they would, if they felt that the student wasn't applying himself enough and could do more, they would hit him hard to try to get him to accomplish more. I mean, my father's teacher, he was his teacher, though. He was Mar Shmuel. He was his master. He was his teacher, so he was pushing him to work harder. My father's teacher, Rav Soloveitchik, also, before he got sick, certainly, he used to be a very harsh teacher. You could talk to Dr. Danishevsky, and the way Rav Soloveitchik used to push the students, he'd push them very hard. They did a lot. I remember once hearing that when Rabbi Chalap was in his shir, they did 2 mesechtos be'iyun, 60 blot be'iyun in mesechet Shabbos in the morning, and 60 blot be'iyun in mesechet Nida in the afternoon, and that was only with 2.5 days a week of shir and 2 college semesters. Mm. Typical yeshivas nowadays, they might do 6 blot be'iyun the whole year. Mm. He was doing with his students in the 1940s. 120 blot be'iyun in 2.5 days a week of shir. So he pushed them very hard. He pushed them hard. He demanded a lot. But that's the way of the earlier giants. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. Okay, so now we've moved from the ear to the eyes, and now we get to the nose. Okay, chotamo shenikav. If the nose nostril is punctured, or shenivgam, or some of it was cut out, or it's cracked. Sfamo, now from the nose, let's go to the lips. Sfamo shenikva, the lip that was punctured. Shenif gima, that was reduced. Shenizdaka, that was cracked. Those are all permanent blemishes, and you can shech the bechor and eat the meat. Nikvu chotamim, if the hole between the nostrils got a hole. So the wall between the nostrils, between the two nostrils, there's a hole there between them. So now the two nostrils, the two holes are really attached with the hole in between. So im bi bachutz, if it's on the outside, areza mum, that's a blemish. But if it's on the inside, eino mum, it's not a blemish because it's not a mum gully, it's not a revealed blemish. As we've learned, the blemishes explicitly in the pasuk are piseach oiver, the lame or the blind, which is revealed. So even though it says kol mum, so we include other blemishes too, but it has to be megula, it has to be a revealed blemish. All right, so now going on to the lips. Vaso shenikva, the lip that was had a hole in it, or sheniv gemar, or that has been reduced, or sheniv dekar, is cracked. Amrav Papa, Rav Papa said, Tore bara de sifta. The Mishnah is only talking about the outer line of the lip, and that which is inside of the lips, just the outside part of the lips. Okay, so now we move on to teeth. Chutin achitzonios. The external gums. Sheniv gemu. Very good. Yeah, they have pictures in the articles. Very helpful. I hope the Koran has a picture too. Great. Yes, very helpful. So the internal gums. So chutin achitzonios. Sheniv gemu. I'm sorry, the external gums. Chutin achitzonios. The external gums. It's in the front of the mouth. Sheniv gemu, if they were damaged, or shenigmemu, right, or cut down, that's also a blemish. And apnimim, and the inner gums, shenekru, that are uprooted entirely, that's also considered a blemish. Rabbi Chanina ben Tikna Somer, Rabbi Chanina ben Tikna says, no, ein bodkin min hatiyomis. You don't check past the two big front teeth. Vilifnim and past. Va'af lo esatiyomis. And not even those two big front teeth. Because even if they are uprooted, it's not considered a blemish. Okay, now says the Gemara. Tiyomis, these two big front teeth. Tiyomis. What's the tiyomis? Minatiyomis vilifnim. From the tiyomis and in. The tiyomis atma kilifnin, and the tiyomis itself is like that which is within, and if there are problems there, that's not a mum to permit the slaughter of a bechor. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfutzoi Omer, ein shochtin ela ala chitzonis bilvad. We only shecht for a problem with the outer teeth. And Chanina ben Tignos says, ein mashgichin al tiyomis kol ikar. We don't pay any attention at all to the tiyomis. My comment, what's the Tanakhama saying when he says the tiyomis is from the tiyomis and in, and the tiyomis itself is like what's in? The su, and furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfutzai, who says we only shech for the outer teeth, Haini Tanakhama, that's also the Tanakhama. So what's the argument between them? The Gemara explains, because we're mixed, there are all sorts of things missing from this braisa. Hakikta is the way to say it. Ezeu apnimius. What are the inner teeth? That in regards to them, the Mishnah is saying, if they're uprooted, it's considered a mum. But if they were reduced or damaged, it's not a mum. The answer is, minatiyomis ulifnim. That which is past, the two front teeth. Utiyomis atm, the two front teeth, are kilifnim. They're like that inner area. And only if it's uprooted is it a problem. Medvar Mamurim, when do we say that these things are not a problem? If the Nivgamu Venigmamu, if they were damaged or reduced, but Nakru, if they're uprooted, then it's a Mum and Shochtin. You could check based on that the Bechor. That's the view of Tanakhama. But Yeshua ben Kfutzai Omer, Yeshua ben Kfutzai says, Ein Shochtin, Ela al Hachitzonios. You can only check for damage to the outermost teeth, Avol Pnimios, but the inner teeth, Nekru, even if they're uprooted, Mishchat Alayu, Lo Shachtina, we can't Shecht. Aval Yivsulei Mifsal, but you still couldn't offer it as a carbon. So it's sort of like stuck. It's not yet a Baal Mum to the point that you can Shecht it and eat the meat, but you can't offer it as a carbon. It is blemished enough to not offer it as a carbon. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigno Somer, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigno says, Ein Mashgichan al Tiyomis, Kol Ikar, we don't pay attention at all to the Tziyomis, Vafilu Ifsule Lo Ifsul. And it doesn't even become disqualified from offering it as a carbon. Okay.
Because it's not visible?
Yeah, yeah, it's not visible, exactly.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, mum galui, you check the bechor, yeah.
And that's got to the Kohen.
Yes, that's his private property. All right, more issues with this question of mum galui or not. Boy, Rebbe Chadvoy Bar Ami. Rebbe Chadvoy Bar Ami has the following question. Yesh mechusar even mibifnim. What happens if inside the animal it's missing a limb? Is that considered a mum? Ein mechusar even mibifnim. Or maybe we say whatever's inside doesn't count because it's not mum galui, it's not revealed. And there's no law of mechusar ever of missing a limb for a problem inside. Where it says Lamai, in regards to what? Ilu Bukhar, we're talking about Bukhar, which is what I just translated as. The verse says, if Yiseyachu Iverksiv, the verse says, it has to be lame or blind. So we say it means more than that, but it has to be certainly something revealed, not something which is hidden. Ikachim, if we're talking about Karbanos, and talking about redeeming it based on it having a problem inside, again, the Torah says, Averes O Shavur, the Torah says, broken leg or blind. Again, it has to be revealed, not something hidden. Answer the Gemara. Lishtachute, to allow you to shecht a bechor, ulifruke, or to redeem a shlamim that's blemished, lo yibaylam, it's not a question, it's not revealed. Of course, it doesn't permit those things. Kim yibaylam liyivsuli, but our question, what we just raised now, to disqualify it from being brought as a karban, but it's not yet permitted to be shechted. My, what's the law? The Torah says, tam yilaratzam, if it's whole, then it'll be for favor. Amrachmana. So tam in, maybe it has to be totally whole. Chisaron lo, not if it's missing something, even though it's missing something internal, which is hidden. Well, do or maybe tamim yiel eratzon, kalmum lo yiel bo. Since the same pasuk that says tamim yiel eratzon, whole it'll be favorably. It can't have any blemish in it, is to compare that law of tamim to kalmum lo yiel bo. So mamum yabo, right? Mumim that are a problem are in the external. Af chisaron yabo, right? So too, only if it's missing externally, would it be disqualified for being brought as a karban? So Tashma, come to your proof from a brisa in regards to offering the insides of karbanos. The verse says, Veshtei aklayos, and you're going to offer the fat on the two kidneys. The Torah says the two kidneys. That's to say, velo bal kluya achas, not if the animal only has one kidney, velo bal shalosh kluyos, and not if it has three kidneys. The Tanya Duch Yevulana Vrai, so the Pasuk says, Ala Klayos Yisirena. So now if we're talking about removing the fats, it should say Yisirena. Yisirena is in the singular tense. So that's telling you, Lerabos Balkulya Achas, that even if the animal only has one kidney, you can take the fat of that one kidney and offer it. So you have a machlokas here, you have an argument, you have a contradiction here between two Vraisas. One Vraisa says you can't offer that which is only one kidney, and the other Vraisa says you could offer from an animal that only has one kidney. So svurua, so they figured, the kuliyam, everybody agrees. And bria bi'achas. Animals aren't born with one kidney. And so what are we talking about? It is taham michasar chasar. After the animal was born, it lost the kidney. So lehim ba'kamifiki, maybe this question that we have here, is there a problem in a carbon if there's an internal something missing? This is the argument of the Braisa. The Marasava, one Braisa holds chisar mi bifnim shmei chisaron. If there's something missing inside, that's considered a chisaron. The Marasava, the other opinion is no, chisar mi bifnim lo shmei chisaron. If there's a limb missing inside, it's not considered a chisaron, and therefore you can still offer it as a carbon. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, maybe not. So kuliyama yesh biyor biachas. Maybe the brisa, both brises believe that there's some animals born with only one kidney, and they believe chisaron mibifnim shmei chisaron. If something's missing internally, it would be a problem. Okay, so then how could the brisa say that if it's with one kidney, you see rena, you could still offer the fat? Lokash is not a contradiction. Kan kishenivra b'shtayim v'chasr. If the animal is created with two kidneys and it's now missing one kidney, that disqualifies it. Kan yisirena, that we said it's okay, is kashenivra b'kol yachas meikara, when it was created initially with only one kidney, so that's okay. So Gemara says, how could you say that? Vadumi de shalosh katani, but it says that like three kidneys. Right? The Bryce says you have to have two kidneys, not an animal of one kidney, not an animal of three kidneys. That sounds like that when you disqualify the one kidney, it's mashalosh meikara, just like an animal can be born with three kidneys is disqualified. Afachas meikara, so to an animal born with one kidney initially is disqualified. Alice, so you have to say like this. Hacha over here, reish birya ba'achas kamiflugi. The argument is an animal born ever with one kidney? Mar savar, one brisa holds yesh birya ba'achas. Sometimes an animal can be born with one kidney. And therefore, if you have an animal with one kidney, we say it was probably born that way and it's kosher. Mar savar, the other opinion that compared it to three kidneys, he holds ein birya ba'achas. Animals are not born with only one kidney. And since animals aren't born with only one kidney, so then we assume that it lost the second kidney after birth, and that's why it becomes disqualified as a carbon. Rabbi Yochanan said another answer. What's that?
How can the kidney just disappear?
I don't know.
Lost it.
We need a farmer.
Surgery?
Yeah, they did surgery. We saw yesterday the drill of the doctor. Yeah, they did surgeries. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Dukuli alma." Maybe everybody agrees. Ein birya ba'achas. An animal is not born with one kidney. No such thing. And chisar mibefnim shmei chisaron. If something's missing inside, that there's a problem. For lo kasha, we don't have a contradiction between the two brisos. Tam, the brisa that disqualifies an animal with one kidney is shachasra kodem shchita. Before the animal was shechted, it lost the kidney. Khan, the brisa that said that it's kosher with one kidney because it was shechted with two kidneys. And chasuli achar shchita. After the shchita, one of the kidneys was taken out. So what? But now already it was kosher. So when I asked, the achar shchita, the kodem kabbalah mishari, is there such a thing? That you shechted it with two kidneys, but before you cut the blood, there was already only one kidney there. Mishari, is that allowed? Is that allowed? V'amar Rebzeir Marav. Rebzeir said the name of Rav. Hatzorim ozen apar. If a person cuts off the ear or part of the ear of a cow that he shechted, and then he catches the blood, the carbon's puzzle, Shneim as the puzzle says, v'lakach ha-kohen ha-mashiach midam apar. He has to catch it when it's a full, from the cow. Ha-par she-yakfar. He has to catch the blood from the cow that was there, not from a cow that's been blemished afterwards. Elos, okay, this is the answer between the two brises. Kam, the brise that says that an animal with one kidney is disqualified. Shechasra kodem kabbalah. It lost the kidney before the blood was caught. Based on this drash of hapar, it's no good. Khan, one second, but Khan, the brise that said that it is okay, from the word yesirana, it is okay to offer a carbon an animal with only one kidney. It's shechasra liachar kabbalah. It's when the kidney was taken out after the blood was caught. So the Gemara now asks the same question. One second, liachar kabbalah. If the kidney was taken out after the blood was caught, v'kodem zrika, but before the blood was thrown, mishari, is the carbon going to be allowed? V'atani we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says about carbon pesach. Set tamim, a whole sheep, zachar male, ben shana yelachem. It has to be a year old. So that tells you, sheyehei, from the word yiye, sheyehei tamim ben shana, b'shah shkita. It has to be whole at the time of the shchita. Uminayim b'kabbalah b'halacha v'hazayah. How do we know that it has to be a whole animal when you're catching the blood, when you're walking the blood, and when you're throwing the blood? Tamalomar yiyah. That's what he says. Yiyah shiyukal avayos tamu ben shana. Throughout the yiyah, throughout its existence, it has to be tam and ben shana. So the Gemara says, no. Tirgima, that brisa, that the word yiyah means it has to be this way the whole yiyah, the whole time, is in regards to ben shana. It has to be a year old the whole time. But in regards to being tamim, not. If it was tamim at the time of catching the blood, that's already enough. Even if it's not tamim at the time of the holach of walking the blood and the zrikasad blood, the throwing of the blood. It says the Gemara Chanan Mestaber, that's what makes sense. That if you have an animal, you shecht it, you catch the blood, and then somebody removes the kidney, one of the kidneys, before the blood is thrown on the mizbeach. It's still a kosher carbon. The Tanya is not in a brisa. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Kol hazvachim sheba Torah, all the karbanos in the Torah, that after they were shechted, you lost some of the meat. Nishtayim and kezayis basar, if a kezayis of the meat is still left, an olive worth of the meat is still left, O kezayas chelev, or an olive worth of the fat is still left, zorek es hadam, you can still throw the blood. So what do you see? That even if you don't have a lot of things are taken out, but as long as the kezayas is left, you can continue with the service of the carbon. So what did the Braisa mean when it teaches us that yiyah, it has to be this way till the very end? That just means the age, but not that it has to be whole. Shema mina, that is in fact a good proof. Yeah, what's the question, Kim?
Presumably an animal can live with one kidney. Mm-hmm. And so wouldn't the test be that if he's going to live for a year,
that's for treifa. But this is talking about balmum, blemish. Yeah, blemish is something else.
But blemish isn't, don't typically, do we look at a blemish as a physical mark?
No, it's a physical mark. So it could be like a hole in the ear, we said. You could leave it that. But
one kidney, I mean, there might not be a mark. It just says one kidney.
That's sort of this question. That doesn't matter, the living, because that's only for treifa. But here we're talking about a blemished animal. What's brought to Hashem as a carbon should be whole and perfect. It's not right to bring to him something which isn't whole and perfect. So now asks the Gemara, Mi'ika midi, is there is such a thing? Can you have such a scenario? To b'shash chitavi ben shana. When you slaughter it, the carbon Pesach and Erev Pesach, it's a year old. But by the time you're walking the blood, have you been shteishanim? It's no longer a year old. I mean, it's all the same day. So Amar Rava, Rava said yes. So Maris, that tells you in regards to karbanos, we date things not by the day of birth, but by the hour of birth. Shows postlos pekachin, and so it's still aging. That's right. Even though it was slaughtered after death, it's still aging. So if it was born at 8 o'clock in the morning. Whatever, it was born, it had to be one of the Bein Arbaim, it was born at 2 in the afternoon, it got shechted at 2 in the afternoon, but the blood is caught at 2:05 in the afternoon, all right, that's already a disqualified karban Pesach. It's not called Ben Shana, it's not Yiyya Ben Shana, it didn't stay as a Ben Shana throughout the whole process. Even though it was after
shechted. That was really true, they should have been keeping records of what they were born.
They have to keep records. They have to, for the Beis HaMikdash, they'd have to keep records of the hours.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Exactly, year old, man.
Scan the bracelet.
Every hour, the next hour, as the next hour begins. Yes. Yes, Josephus says.
A million set, 1 year old exactly, Ben Shana coming perfect, with not even a crinkle on the ear, nothing, 100%. I mean,
it's great.
And especially after 1 year.
Amazing. Amazing. Lema Kitanite, let's suggest that this machlokas of an organ missing internally is a machlokas tanoim, because we learned in a braisa. The Torah is discussing different damages to the testicles that would make a carbon a balmum. Uma'uch, v'chasus, v'nasuk, v'charus. So cool, and all of these things are babetzin, that the testicles themselves are ma'uch, katsus, nasuk, or karus. Give Rabbi Yehuda. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So 1 second. Babetzin v'lo bagid, it's only about the testicles, not about the organ, not about
the member.
Ema, so say no, af babetzin, even about the testicles. Give Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, kulam bagid. This is only about the member, but not in the testicles. Rabbi Yossi says, Malch and Katut would disqualify in the Beitzim, in the testicles too. Nasuk and Karus is Begidin, but Beitzim lo. That's only in the member, but not in the testicles. So my love, so maybe, Bahakamifiki, this is the argument. Mar Savar, one holds Chisar Mibifnim Shmechi Saron, that a problem inside is considered a mum. So therefore, if you have problems to the testicles, even though they're still in the sack, it's a baal mum, and you can't offer it as a carbon. Umar savar lo shmei chisaron. Problems inside are not considered a problem. So therefore, the animal doesn't become disqualified if the testicles are damaged, because they're still in the sack. It's all inside. So Umar says, the tizbra, if you're going to say that, so then what are you going to do with Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi might kasavar. He kasavar chisaron, mibifnim shema chisaron. If he holds problems inside or problems, I feel nasuk v'charus nami. Then the problem of nasuk and charus to the testicles should also be a problem. Ikasavar lo shmei chisaron. If yos problems inside are not a problem, I feel moch v'chasus nami. Then moch and katus also shouldn't be a problem. Ella, so rather, hacha b'mumin shebegali kamifugi. Here the argument is all about revealed damages, revealed blemishes. In other words, the question is this considered revealed, a problem in the testicles? Rabbi Yehuda Sav, Rabbi Yehuda Mos, v'chassos, avi muma, the mikavtsan, because the me'icha, the crushing, or the ktisor, the smashing, that crushes the testicles, that makes it visible outside, that's called a revealed blemish. Nasuk v'chassos, nasuk v'charus, avi muma, it's also blemished. That's alyan. Because these testicles have been cut off, they're hanging down, so everybody can see that it's hanging in the sack. However, Beleza ben Yaakov Savar Moch v'chassus lo avi muma. If it's crushed, the testicles are crushed, it's not a mum. The meikara nami zimin de mekavtsan, because sometimes, even in a healthy animal, the testicles shrink, and you can't even tell that they're there. And nasik v'charus lo avi muma. And if the testicles themselves are damaged by being crushed or cut, Italians, even though they are now hanging down at the bottom, sometimes initially also it hangs down to the bottom. And Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi holds moch v'chassus avi muma. If it's moch and chassus crushed and destroyed, they're gone. So since they're gone, the testicles are basically gone. That's certainly a blemish that everybody can see. But nasuk v'charus, that if it's cut off, lo avi muma do isnu, because they're still in the sack, it doesn't look like they're totally gone. But that's not considered a mum shebegalui, a revealed blemish. Okay, we'll continue with the Mishnah, dealing with the next parts of the animal tomorrow. Rabbi Chanan.